Welcome to the Vegan Business Revolution podcast from Vegan Business Tribe with myself, David Pennell, where each episode I am joined by one of our Vegan Business Tribe members to showcase the width and the breadth and the diversity of the vegan business scene. Now, unlike our main podcast, this is raw and unfiltered. So there's no editing. I'm bringing you this discussion as it's recorded. And we've got a quite brutal time limit as well of 20 minutes on this interview. But if you do want to read more inspiring interviews, then also check out our new book, which is now on Amazon, Vegan Business Revolution. And that's a collection of 35 in-depth discussions with vegan business owners that we originally interviewed for Vegan Food and Living magazine, but now published for the first time all in one place in their full unabridged glory. And today, I'm joined by our Vegan Business Tribe member, Megan Kelly from Learn Veganic. So tell me, Meg, what is your vegan business?
So at Learn Veganic, we teach people how they can grow fruits and vegetables at home using entirely vegan techniques, because a lot of fertilizers are actually animal-based. There's things like blood meal, bone meal, manure from farmed animals that are commonly used as fertilizers. So we teach people how they can totally veganize their gardening experience and grow veggies that are vegan from seed to harvest.
Absolutely brilliant. And I'm fascinated by this topic because, you know, veganism is a journey and there is so much to always discover. You know, sometimes we feel a little bit smug that we're doing really well and then you find out something else. So I'm really looking forward to talk about this topic. But before we go into that, I want to know about you first. So Meg, I'm really interested to know about your own vegan journey and how that tied in with you starting a vegan business.
So I became semi-vegetarian when I was a teenager, and it took me a few years to really get on board with veganism 100%. So it was kind of my late teens, early 20s. One of my big influences at the time was Vegan Street, also going to the Toronto Vegetarian Food Festival. That was a big influence. And I became vegan a bit over 20 years ago. And it's just been a wonderful journey, but moving on to Veganics was its own other thing. You know, that was around 2006 when I got interested, 2006, 2008, I got interested in growing my own food. And that's when I realized that, you know, as you mentioned, there's all these extra steps to veganism. Sometimes when we go into a new hobby or a new interest, it's once we actually get into it that we find out it's not quite as vegan as we imagined it to be. So back in 2008, I started the Veganic Agriculture Network, which is an organization that focuses on promoting veganic farming and gardening in North America. And about 4 years ago, I decided that we wanted to bring the idea of veganics to new audiences in new ways. And that's when I decided to found Learn Veganic, to run online veganic gardening courses so that we could really offer mentorship to people and kind of step-by-step processes for how they can do their gardens and really take our veganic activism beyond what we had originally been doing.
What I love about what I do is I get to find out about all these incredible niches that there are in the vegan sector, you know, such as gardening and growing, because are people surprised that, you know, growing vegetables, it might not actually be vegan?
Yeah, some people are surprised. And then some people aren't surprised, but they're skeptical that it could be veganized. So there's many people who know, for example, that manure is common as a fertilizer and might be incredibly skeptical that you even could veganize that. And then some people don't even think about how their food is grown. And then when we find out, you know, unfortunately, you know, a lot of the stuff that we're buying from grocery stores, whether it's organic or whether it's conventional, is grown using animal products, whether we like it or not. And the one thing I like about gardening is at least we're empowered to make that decision. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm a vegan and I'm going to garden, well, of course, I don't want to buy blood meal or bone meal. But there's not necessarily right now a vegan line of products in every garden center that you go to. You might find one or two things, but what I'd say is that being a veganic gardener today is like being vegan in the 1970s. You know, if you talk to people who were vegan in the 1970s, they were making their own tofu, they were making their own veggie burgers, they were, you know, all of those things. And I'd love to see a time in the future where gardening veganically is as easy as it is to be vegan today. But the reality with veganic gardening right now is we are doing a lot of stuff where we are collecting different materials, we're composting them, we're creating our own fertilizers. But the advantage of that is it does take a little bit more time, it takes a little bit more effort, but it tends to be a lot cheaper because a lot of the fertilizers we're making are from free resources, and it's a lot more eco-friendly too to be making our own fertilizers, right out of, growing our own fertilizers right in our own garden or reclaiming materials from our neighborhood. So even though it's very hands-on, it ends up being like the most ecologically friendly way we could garden.
And I like that as well, because I know that veganic growing, it's not just about the products you use. There is this whole kind of ethos about growing in a more sustainable way too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in England, Ian Tolhurst has a veganic farm, and there was an analysis done on his farm that showed that the produce that he grows is 90% more efficient than typical supermarket produce. And so, there is the idea of having low impact methods, reducing fossil fuel use, not importing fertilizers from other places and growing your own fertilizer, reducing the land use that it takes. And so, yeah, it goes far beyond just veganizing it and, to that idea of kind of giving back to the natural world. And also, veganic gardens and veganic farms, we really encourage the idea of having significant areas that are left for wildlife, and planting flowers to encourage pollinators. And so it's not a system where animals are free. Or sorry, it's not a system that's free from animals, but rather it's a system where all the animals are free. And so it's sometimes people will be skeptical of veganics too, because they say, well, animals are supposed to be in, farms and gardens, there's that's a natural thing. And the way I see it is it's natural to have robins, it's natural to have blue jays. There's no reason to have a chicken added. That's not actually really natural. So with veganic growing, we try to kind of bring back in that element of encouraging the natural world to be there.
And you mentioned Ian Tolhurst there, and is it the Hardwick Estate, I think, isn't it, here in the UK? Because myself and my wife Lisa, we'd actually spent a camping weekend on the Hardwick Estate, not really realizing all the heritage that was there and this veganic heritage. So the idea of veganic growing and veganic farming, it's nothing new, is it?
No, I mean, a lot of these techniques have been used for ages, and I can say many people are veganic gardeners without knowing it, because if somebody makes their own compost at home using entirely plant-based materials, well, that in and of itself would be a veganic garden. But there's other techniques that have been used for ages in agriculture, such as green manures. And the word green manure might sound disgusting, but it's actually just plants, and it's plants that you grow to feed them back to the soil in order to improve the soil fertility. So it can be things like clover and buckwheat, that basically you grow instead of eating it yourself, the soil's going to eat it and it's going to feed all the soil organisms. So there's techniques like that that many farmers actually use. It's just that with veganic, we go exclusively toward those plant-based techniques instead of also adding in animal-based fertilizers.
Now, you sort of mentioned that for you, this goes further than just for gardening and the farming too. And I know when we've talked in the past, you've said that you do avoid taking flights. You do try and live in a more balanced way too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm somebody who's an anti-consumerist, and I like to, repair things, I'm a minimalist. I ride my bike everywhere. I don't have a car. I don't use airplanes. And so yeah, there's a lot of ways in which I try to reduce my environmental impact, and I think that it can really help support a lot of the goals that we have behind veganism. With veganism, the whole idea of veganism is to respect everyone, and to create a healthier world for everyone, and to avoid any suffering. And I think that by trying to live a more environmentally friendly lifestyle, we contribute to that goal.
So with that in mind then, gardening and farming, that's a real practical kind of hands-on thing. So if you're
Yes.
wanting to teach people, and I'm sort of moving into the business side of what you do now. So if you want to teach people this and you want to spread that veganic world, but you avoid fossil fuel travel, then how do you do that? Have you converted just this real hardcore group of growers within an hour's travel of where you are in Canada?
So we actually offer online courses. People who are interested in veganic gardening tend to be very dispersed around the globe. And
Yes.
so we offer online courses. We have people joining us from, a dozen different countries every time we offer the course. And I love the fact that it brings people together because oftentimes in your neighborhood, you might not know another veganic gardener. So when we do a class together, not only do we teach people how to garden veganically in all sorts of different ways, whether you have a balcony, whether you have a backyard, whether you have a big project, we teach veganic techniques that are appropriate for all circumstances. But we also have get-togethers every week during the course where people can talk about their challenges. They can talk more about their specific climate and get advice from us, get advice from other people who might have a similar situation to theirs. And we really love just that sense of community that it brings. I mean, I've been promoting veganics for the last 16 years. And it's really just in the past 3 or 4 years that we've been running the course that I've really felt this community that's been building up. And I know that so many people who take our course appreciate that sense of community too.
So let me ask a little bit about that course, because a lot of our Vegan Business Tribe members develop courses and they sell them online. But your course, I believe, is actually a live online course, isn't it? So do you find that that gets a better response than just, recording something that's there throughout the year for people to just download and pay for?
So we really enjoy teaching a live online course. A lot of people enjoy the dynamic aspect of showing up for something that's live. And so we offer it live once a year, and then we also offer a recorded version at other times of the year for people who are interested but maybe didn't jump on board for the first time we ran the course. But every time we offer the course, we always offer weekly Q&As because that's the time during which people can really get together. We can dive into people's very specific gardening questions. So we always make sure we've got a live component.
And how long does that course last?
So our course is 7 weeks long, and so it's a 2-hour class every week plus 1 hour of Q&A every week.
So, I mean, that's quite unusual these days. People like to make this kind of evergreen content that's always online. But do you find by running it more like you would a college course or something like that, do you get a better completion rate? Do more people sort of see right through to the end?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we let people take our course however they would like to take our course. And so we'll have some people who are joining us every single week for the live class, every single week for Q&As. Other people might just watch the recordings and maybe just pop into one Q&A during the session. And so we've tried to create a scenario where whatever your lifestyle is and however involved you want to be in the course, you can make your own decision about that. And so we have some people who are just, there for every single thing. And then other people, we don't really see them. And then at the end, they'll send a little thank you note. And so I'm not necessarily tracking who finishes and who doesn't. What we would really like is for people to be able to take from it what they need for their own projects.
Okay, so let me just push you on this as well, because I think, again, a lot of people, when they launch a course, they put a lot of work into doing it, but they don't really know how to promote it. So how have you marketed that course? How have you actually found people to sign up for it?
So, the first year we launched it was in 2021. A lot of people were sitting at home during lockdown and thinking about
Another
gardening.
pandemic business. Here we
Yeah.
go.
And so the first year there was a lot of I'd say enthusiasm around it when it just jumped onto the scene. And since then, what we've been doing is having webinars that we do before we launch the course so that people can learn more about veganic gardening, learn more about our teaching style, and come and meet us. And we also have a free guide to 20 veganic materials for your plant-based garden at our website, learnveganic.com. And that's a guide that, many people get the guide and never sign up for our course, which is perfectly fine. We're just happy to get that information out there. But we do notice that many of the people who sign up for our course got the guide first. And so it's just a way that people can get introduced to a lot of the topics that we're going to cover in more detail, but also get some really, really valuable content regardless of whether they join us for our course or not.
And that's the thing, you know, lead magnets do work. As long as they are part of that funnel, as long as you've got this process to take people from, you know, first showing an interest in your business to then actually signing up to do something, I think that those lead magnets, you know, they do work really well. One thing I want to ask you about also, just keep an eye on the time here, is I know that you've also got this veganic online summit, which I actually saw was absolutely massive last year. I think I read you had something like 1,300 people sign up for that.
Absolutely. So with the Veganic Agriculture Network that I founded in 2008 and Learn Veganic and several other organizations, including the Vegan Organic Network and Certified Veganic, we created an online summit that had over 1,300 registrants. So it was the biggest veganic event in the history of the veganic movement. It created so much collaboration between different people in the movement. Again, we tend to be very dispersed geographically, and it just brought so much enthusiasm. There were people who had been farming or gardening this way who felt kind of alone, where they felt like this was the first place where there was something oriented toward them. And it also just introduced hundreds and hundreds of new people to the idea of veganics for the first time. So we're going to be running another veganic summit in November of 2024. I'm starting to plan it, really looking forward to it. So that's going to be our big event every year. And it's a free summit. There is, you know, an optional paid upgrade, but most people join us for free. And so it's also the idea of getting some really accessible information out there to people, whether they're gardeners or farmers, and just to highlight some of the expertise in the veganic movement. There's some farmers who have been doing this for 40 years, and we'd love for that next generation of farmers to learn the techniques to be able to implement those techniques themselves. And we have a lot, we have a track on it that's aimed at gardeners. So whether people are gardening on a balcony or backyard, we've got talks at the summit about that. And we also look at food systems change. So we have people talking about things like needing to change subsidies to promote the plant-based sector and, you know, agroecology and things like that. So it's really looking at how collectively on every scale we can move toward a plant-based food system.
So what's the thinking behind this summit? Because, you know, we've got some experience ourselves, you know, when we've done Vegan Business Tribe Live here in the UK, you know, that's not something that we made money from. It takes so much time and effort to organise something like that. You know, but, you know, it does really boost our visibility and credibility as an organisation. So in doing this summit, is that a business decision or is it more about the activism?
I would say it's primarily about the activism. I have been doing veganic activism for 16 years. This is a way we can just bring it to the next level, bring it far beyond what we've done before. And then it also gets more people to know who we are, to know what we offer. And, you know, we certainly had people who joined the summit who also joined our course after. But it is primarily a decision that's based on trying to grow the veganic movement, trying to gain visibility for the veganic movement, and try to highlight the expertise of veganic farmers and gardeners.
Absolutely wonderful. So one last question on that. Is it just vegans who come along to that?
Everybody is welcome. What we say is that it's a summit for anyone who would like to see, you know, more sustainable and more compassionate food systems. And I would say that for the moment, most of the people who join are likely vegan, but we would love to see many non-vegans joining us for the Veganic Summit too, because it is part of that wider education that this is possible, it's viable, and that it's sustainable. And you know, we do want more people to get on board with that.
Very diplomatically put. Right. We are just unfortunately now coming up to time, can you believe? So the last question I want to ask you is about what you've learned on your journey. So what's the one piece of advice that you give to others who are running a vegan business?
Do something that you're passionate about. It takes a lot of energy. It's, you know, vegan businesses, like any business, can be very slow to start. It can take a lot of time and energy. We might be doing a lot of new things that we've never tried before, learning how to do a lot of new things. So you have to kind of lean in to begin with something that you're incredibly passionate about that you are going to want to see through for several years, even if it's taking time to build up. But also lean into the learning that's involved and get excited about a lot of the new learning, because there's so many things we need to learn to put new projects together. So kind of keeping up some excitement about that can really help move things along.
Absolutely brilliant answer. So finally, Meg, if people want to find out more about your business or find more about the summit, where do they go?
So to find out more about Learn Veganic and our veganic gardening courses and to get the free guide, you can go to learnveganic.com. We're also on Facebook and Instagram as Learn Veganic. And if you'd like to find out more about the Veganic Summit, that's at veganicsummit.com.
Absolutely wonderful. So thank you, Megan. This has been such an interesting discussion. And remember, if you are looking for more great business advice, you can also catch our main Vegan Business Tribe podcast. You can catch it on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, or wherever you go to get your pods. And also check out our new book, Vegan Business Revolution, which is now available on Amazon too. And if you want to be part of an amazing community of vegan business owners where you will meet people just like Megan, then please do consider joining our Vegan Business Membership community over on veganbusinesstribe.com. And Meg, just to put you on the spot, what's the best thing about being part of Vegan Business Tribe?
Meeting awesome people.
Succinctly put. So thank you so much for joining us today, and I'll see you on the next one.